I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. On May 16th, the Washington Post ran a very moving story titled A Father's Initiative. Paul Gale had no job, no money, a new baby, and 16 lessons from the Obama administration to teach him what to do next. It outlined his participating in a fatherhood class, and it had pictures of him with a pink diaper bag hanging off a shoulder and his struggle with finding a job, with being a dad, with Sapphire, that's his baby daughter, and she's with us in the studio, and she's so cute. Problems with her mother, problems with his mother. Being poor and having a child and trying to do the right thing and go to the fatherhood classes and make something not only of his life but of her life. The article was very moving, published in the Washington Post, caught our attention, and we thought that we would invite Paul Gale and his daughter, but she's not able to talk yet, so Paul will talk for her, to be on the air, to give... Oh, yes, she is going to talk. That's great. I'm sorry I was mistaken. I misspoke. She is going to talk to us. So we thought that we'd get... We talk a lot about these issues of poverty and segregation in this city, and we thought it might, you know, be good for us to understand what it's all about from somebody who's experiencing all of those things that we talk about at great length. Paul, thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
And you have an absolutely beautiful daughter.
Thank you.
Yeah, she is just gorgeous. So what did you think when you found out you were going to be a dad? You aren't very old. You were, what, 19 years old? It was a bit of a surprise, and probably you were filled with some trepidation, huh?
Yeah, well, really, I was 18. I was still in high school when I found out that my baby mama was pregnant with her. So, but it was towards the end of my high school years. So I kind of was like, okay, I'm having a baby, and I kind of freaked out about it. But then it's like, I'm graduating high school. So really, I'm an adult. Really, no one's going to say anything because I graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to do what I got to do for my child. That's what I've been doing.
And you were in a fairly long-term relationship with her. It must have gone a little bit south, huh?
Yeah, it was up and down 4 years, but stuck with each other for the longest.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a lot of things don't work out.
So you were the primary parent for Sapphire?
For the time being, yes.
You just so it might be different down the road?
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, here you are with this child who's in your care, and you don't have a job. You're a high school graduate, but you have a lot to deal with. Tell me about this fatherhood initiative.
The Fatherhood Initiative is the Obama thing, but the group that I'm in is the Fatherhood Nourishment Group, and it's ran by Alfonso Pettis.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known him since I was younger, back when he worked for Rosely Manor with my mom.
Oh.
And really, since I met up with Alfonso and started going to the fatherhood programs, I've started doing more for myself as a person, not just to help my daughter, but to help me become a better person. And like, he got me a job working with a dust-free clean service for where the fatherhood meetings take place and a couple other schools that will clean when kids get let out.
Mm-hmm.
But for the time being, it brings in some money, and that's what I need to do.
So the initiative was to get fathers to understand how to take care of babies and help them along that path?
Well, it's somewhat like that, but also it helps like bring the fathers together and get an understanding on their situation. Like, there's other fathers that have different situations than me. I'm just the youngest. Maybe that's why everybody's focusing on me, but I feel like they need to focus on the whole group, because there's other fathers that are going through worse things than I'm going through. Like, they've just got out of incarceration and trying to get back on the straight path, but they can't just because of their past. and they're trying to do better for their kids. They're trying to see their kids, but the mother won't let them. So they're going to the classes to get help for paternities, custody, visitations, all types of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a struggle all around for fathers, in Milwaukee especially.
Mm-hmm. Well, the article is so poignant because here you are with a new baby and you're trying to do the right thing, and you are her connection to life. I mean, she doesn't have anybody else to go to, but you can't get a job and you don't have a car. You didn't have a cell phone. You have no place to go to find work. And then finally somebody tells you to go to Waukesha. Right, go to Waukesha. You live on the north side of Milwaukee, and you... How are you going to get to Waukesha?
Well, that was like a shot in the dark, just because my counselor did say that there was a possibility that they might have an opening at one of their facilities in Milwaukee, but it wasn't a for sure guarantee. So it was just like, well, since I don't have a car, period, it'd be kind of hard for me to, if I was to get hired out in Waukesha, it'd be really hard for me to get out there. I know there's one bus that probably goes out there, but that probably comes every other hour or something like that, like probably two trips out and back, and I'd probably miss it. So
mm-hmm.
I just really didn't go through with it all the way. Like, I called the lady, I left her a message, I emailed her, and really once she didn't call or email back, that's when I just like, okay, well, it's not meant to be. Because people do say always, like, call 2 weeks later just to back it up. Like, say you called 2 weeks before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just thought about it. I'm like, something's going to fall through,
mm-hmm.
which it did working with Alfonso. So it's just, I just got to find a first shift job somewhat, because I work at four in the afternoon till like 9, 8:30. Mm.
And then you're taking care of Sapphire, too, so you probably don't get much sleep, do you?
Yeah, not really. Like, I'm up all night, but it's fine. I get my sleep in, but I'm up moving most of the day.
Yeah. You have to sleep when she sleeps, too.
Yeah.
The article indicated that you were you went to Pulaski High School and that you were a good student. There were a number of people who said to you, you really ought to go to college.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to go, like, right after high school, just to like the college life experience, but as finding out that my baby was gonna be here, I kind of strayed away doing like everything for college, like applications, the FAFSA, scholarships. I kind of strayed away from it and kind of just focused on more of graduating, because I do have a hard time paying attention and just doing my work. But I focused on me graduating more than going to college. Yes, Mama. And but now, actually working with Alfonso, he's gonna get me back into school.
Really?
He, because they're tied in with MATC,
mm-hmm.
with the GED fatherhood, so the fathers or people can come get their GED. He's gonna get me in so I can go get my classes, like my college degree. Because I have my high school diploma.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to work on that for the next couple weeks while all this other Washington Post stuff is going on. We're going to try to get myself back into school.
How did this article happen? And did you have second thoughts about whether or not you wanted to let somebody in that deeply?
Well, it was more of like Alfonso let me know, like, hey, I want you to meet this guy. He's from the Washington Post. Right away he told me he's from the Post, and he's doing a story, and he wants to talk to you. So I'm like, okay, fine. The things I told him, I didn't expect it to, like, be worded the way he worded it. I'm like, can't be mad at him. He's a reporter. They make the story the way they see it, the way they feel that the story should be put out there. So I understand the way it's written and everything. Like, maybe if I tell people all the time now, since it's out, if somebody would have told me, say, hey, Paul, somebody from the Washington Post wants to write about you, but at the end of all of this, your name's just going to be boom. You're going to be out there. Everybody's going to call you, everything.
Is that what's happened?
Yeah, then I probably would have been like, can somebody else do it or something? And maybe I can chime in? Like, just because America does a lot to a person, period. And especially when it comes down to what was written about me, if my daughter was at the age where she could understand a lot of stuff people say and read and write, I wouldn't want my daughter to see what the things people write about, about me as a person.
You mean the response to the article?
Yeah, the response to the article.
From a writing perspective, yeah, from a look at your life, it was beautiful.
Yeah,
it
but
really
like,
was.
The way that America reads it and then portrays me to be what they portray me to be, it's not what it is, because I say, yes, you read the story, but for you to really understand me, you have to get to know me on a personal level and really become part of me. And that's what everybody around me has done. They know the truth, like the real 100% truth. Yes, there's some stuff missed out just because it's not meant to be talked about. A lot of America doesn't need to know 100% of my life and my baby mama's life. They need to know the importance. Yeah, I feel that's true. But they don't need to know everything.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also, don't you think, Paul, that people, we talk about these issues. We talk about, you know, where you grew up, and we'll talk about the violence that that has affected your life directly. But people don't understand, you know. People have this image of, well, people don't want to work in the central city, or they're just lazy, they're just... And the story was wonderful in the regard that it really showed you as somebody who really wants to do the right thing. Obviously, you've got issues you got to deal with. But people close their eyes to what's going on that you're dealing with. People close their eyes to the north side of Milwaukee. They close their eyes to the violence. They just say, you know, and then they blame you for what it is you're living.
Yeah.
Or what you've had to live.
Yes, and it's just like once something major happens on the north side, that's when it comes to light.
Right.
And really, this stuff's been going on for years. Like, my father was killed when I was right before my eighth grade year. I wasn't even in high school. 2009, July 12th, 2009, he was killed. So it's like, I grew up without him. Yeah, there's people that grew up without their father, but to have your father there and then taken from you, it hurts. And it's like, there's a lot of questions my older brother couldn't teach me because his father wasn't there. My father was there for him for a while until he got older and did his own thing. But it's like, the manhood and the fatherhood, I wasn't taught properly. So I had to learn on my own. And meeting up with Alfonso and doing the fatherhood, I'm learning a way lot more from the other fathers, that I can do a lot more for my daughter as long as I put my mind to it. You know what I'm saying? Just focus on that, nothing else. Don't let nothing stop me. I can do it.
Yeah, it's hard to. And also to have to be surrounded. Hey, Sapphire. Hi, honey. I wish you were television just for a moment so you could see her because she's so beautiful. To have your father... Hi. Hi.
Nope.
She's grabbing at the microphone. Hi. To lose your father in that fashion, to have... violence very close to your neighborhood and within your neighborhood has got to be something that not only do you worry about it for you, and it must have damaged you to have your father go that way, but for her to have to the possibility of that kind of violence, it's very hard to live that way.
Yeah, like I'm to the point where I really want to move out of Wisconsin, period, because it's not a good state for they say African-American kids, even though my child is not African-American. Well, she is half African-American, actually. But even though she's not considered to be black like the way they consider black to be, the rate for children growing up in Wisconsin is so low with education, live. Like, I really don't want her to be here. I'd rather have her, like, down in Texas with my aunt.
Really?
Just because they live in a nice area, and she does know how to raise, like, she raised her kids well, or as best as she can, and they're awesome kids. They're my cousins. And I went down there for a summer, and I did like it, but it's like I'm not used to the way she raises, or the way she disciplines and things like that. Just because she's from Jamaica, So it's my mom's from India, but she was adopted by Caucasians. So my mom, she lets me do certain things, like lets me go out with my friends. My aunt wouldn't let me do that.
Uh-huh.
If I do go out with my friends, she would have to know them personally, like their families and everything. I can tell my mom, say, hey, mom, I'm finna go hang out with my friend Tom. But she knows, like, I'm not gonna hang out with somebody that I don't really trust like that.
Right.
So my mom lets me, she'll let me go. Okay, yeah, you can.
So it's for safety for your daughter, because obviously to have her, I don't know if you're going to move there as well, but to have her so far away is going to be hard on you.
Well, it's not that I'm going to send her down there. I would like that. Like, I'd move down there too. My aunt, I know she wouldn't mind. But I would have rules. I would have to get a job right away.
Right.
I'd have to find daycare, everything like that. But it's just, I feel that's a safer area. Yes, everywhere I go, there's going to be something. Gun violence, period. But it's not going to be as high as it is in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. It shouldn't be. And the segregation in this area is horrible, too. What about the job situation? You're obviously a smart guy. Why is it hard to find a job in this city? She can come over and sit with me for a while if you want. You want to come over, Sapphire?
Give me
just for something different. Hold on. Come on. Come on, hey, honey. We're going to do an interview. We're going to watch Daddy, okay? Let's watch Daddy. There we go. Okay. Why is it so hard to find a job?
Well, for a lot of people, it's with the drug test, because people do smoke marijuana. For some, it's education-wise. Others, is just the lack of effort. Because nowadays, jobs, they're not just hiring for high school diplomas. You have to go to college and get your
right.
master's and bachelor's.
Right.
Now it's to the point where you have to push just for your PhD. Just because my mom has her bachelor's and I think her master's. My brother's about to get his master's. And yet they're still struggling to take care of their household. And it's to the point where it's like people just want to give up. I see it in my mom's face all the time.
Yeah.
She just wants to give up. She is the article she just told me yesterday. The article made it seem like she didn't do her job to take care of me, which she did. My mother has done over the top for me. Every time my bike got stolen when I was younger, she'd buy me a new one. Right when the summer hit, come on, we're going to Walmart, we're going to Target, we're going to get you a new bike. Every year, she'd get me a new bike whenever it got stolen. She'd make sure if I got in trouble at school, and if it was for a legitimate reason, she would tell me, okay, well, next time, go about it totally different. Think about it. Because she knows I have a temper. And I've been controlling that since I've started high school, just because. So my mother knows me better than anybody. And she has done her best, like, beyond taking care of me. And now that's why I'm the way I am. I'm taking care of my daughter. I'm doing what I have to do to make sure that she has what she needs before I do what I need to do. Like, my mom, she just got some new glasses, I'd say, a couple months ago. It's been 7 years since she had a new pair of glasses. And I always would tell her, Mom, when you get paid, go get yourself something. Stop asking do this and do that. Go get yourself some clothes. Go buy yourself some nice shoes. Don't worry about nothing else but yourself. Your kids are grown. We're all basically out the house. You need to start focusing on yourself. You've done your job. Your job's over. It's our job to take care of you now. And that's what literally I've been trying to do. Like, my sister asked me, like, hey, Paul, can you think you could get me some formula for my little nephew? I'll go get it for her. If I have it, I'll go get it for her. Or I called my brother yesterday. I gave him a couple Pampers because I have a whole bunch. So I just, like, hey, I got a pack of Pampers here. Gave him, bust open a box and gave him a pack. So it's like I help my family, even though we go through what we go through. Family's family. So I still help them because people are helping me. And I don't want people to look at me and be like, well, we're helping you. You're not doing nothing with it. No, I'm helping the ones around me too. I'm not that cold hearted to, if somebody sends me a box of diapers and I just heard somebody say, man, I need some Pampers for my baby. I'm not just gonna be like, yeah, I got these Pampers. I'm finna go put them in my house. No, I'm gonna offer some. Would you like some? If they don't take them, that's on them, because that's a pride thing. Otherwise, I help the ones around me, even though we go through what we go through, what I go through. I just try to ignore it and just move on, because there's no point of dwelling on it.
Let's welcome phone calls. Our phone number, Paul Gale is our guest. Paul was featured in a Washington Post article on May 16th. Paul Gale had no job, no money, a new baby, and 16 lessons from the Obama administration to teach him what to do next. He's in our studios in Milwaukee with his beautiful daughter, Sapphire. And we're welcoming phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're also on Twitter. Yeah, and that's at K Dunn Show. Hi. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Michael in Neosha is our first caller. Hi, Michael.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Kathleen?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
I just turned on and was listening, and situations are different, but I kind of feel his pain, actually, you know, with the having to explain yourself and the insecurity that comes with the position he's in. I'm a bit, you know, not to veer off too much, but on somewhat of the same level. I have a child coming. It's my first. I'm 35. He's mm-hmm. 18. But my situation's different. You know, I am on disability. I have rheumatoid arthritis. Fairly aggressively, and I've spent the last 10 years having my joints replaced, and I also have the same difficulty finding a job or being able to do the job, and I'm up nights trying to figure out what exactly I am going to do. You know, pride does come into the picture, and I don't necessarily want to have help. I want to be able to support this child, and I'm very excited, but at the same time, I'm frankly terrified.
Paul.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just asking Paul to respond to you, Paul.
That right there tells you that even though I'm going through my situation, there's people out there with worse situations that not even need their story told, just need to be heard. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel comfortable in being a dad?
Do I?
Mm-hmm.
Very much so, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I've been involved with my nieces and nephews. I've changed diapers since I was probably 12 years old. It's just that, you know, it comes down basically to the financial aspect of it, and
right.
You know, kind of stuck in a corner at what to do next. You know, I'm driving cab at the moment, you know, because that's physically something I'm able to do, and even that is difficult. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I guess I'm just really trying to figure things out, and I just kind of feel for Paul, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I hope you can figure them out. There may be some kind of disability. If your disabilities are such, there may be some place that could help you as well. It's always good to look at whatever help you can get. What about the situation with jobs, Paul? Because it's obvious that what you need for Sapphire and for your life is to have steady employment. You mentioned failing drug tests. Is that issue worked out for you? Do you feel like you can pass drug tests now? Or?
Well, now I can because I haven't been smoking. Because I'm trying to get a better job. So I've just like, I left it alone. And since the article's been out, it just seems like everybody thinks I'm just gonna smoke away. No, I haven't been smoking. It's not that hard to just stop smoking. It's frankly easy. It's just a lot of people make it hard for when you talk down on somebody about their situation.
Right.
It makes it real hard, but...
So you have to take drug tests for a lot of jobs these days?
Majority.
Like, do you really?
They're starting to do drug tests for for people with food stamps and things like that. For WIC, they're starting to drug test the parents.
Mm-hmm. Because
it seems like they're selling the money for... or they're selling the food for money to get drugs.
Mm. Yeah. So... The job you have now is helping some. Do you have a stable place to live?
Yes. So the job, I don't get that many hours, but my boss, he tries his best to, like, every day he says I work, which I do.
Mm-hmm.
But it may not be for that long, but he tries his best to get me as many hours as I can. He tries to split it up between all the other people, even though I am the youngest, probably. He makes it fair, mm-hmm, to where everybody feels an equal part of the crew.
Mm-hmm. So if you look at all the different elements in your life, is it the job, steady employment that would help you the most at this point in your life, Paul?
I would think so, yeah. And also a car, just because of transportation. Like, I always use my mom's car whenever I need to, unless she's busy with work.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm on the bus. Or I'll walk. If it's walkable, if the distance isn't that far and it's nice out, I'll throw Sapphire in the stroller and we'll walk. But otherwise, I'm on the bus, and if my mom's not busy, I have her car.
So you need transportation. You need a full time job. You have a part time job right now.
Yes.
You're going to need daycare.
At the Next Door Foundation. That's where I go for my my fatherhood meetings. They have daycare from 7 weeks old all the way to like 6 years old.
Oh, they do?
Yep. So I just signed up with the Head Start program. So I'm getting in the mix of that. Once I get flowing into it, I'll be able to send her there for basically the whole day from 7 in the morning to 6:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
But that daycare's take. Like, everybody keeps saying that I'm going to need daycare. I have that taken care of. I'm making sure all my loopholes tied down.
How many young people do you know, fathers particularly, who are in the same situation you're in?
I know one offhand, and that's my guy Tyrone. I went to grade school with him, and he just had a baby not too long ago. And he's somewhat homeless, and he's there for his child, but yet he doesn't have a job. He's looking for a job right now. And he graduated high school, but he comes to me sometimes like, hey, Paul, you have something? Yeah, you're my best friend. We've been best friends since we were younger. Even though we don't talk like we used to, you're my best friend. So if I have it, I got you. Otherwise, I'll let him know like, hey, maybe come holler at me next Tuesday or something, and I'll see if I have something for you.
And your mom has been helpful. Your mom has set a pretty strict series of guidelines. According to the article, she doesn't want you wandering around in the neighborhood. She's probably worried about your safety. She's asked that you adhere to a certain series of rules, right?
Yeah, just because, like, in my area, it's getting worse and worse.
What's going on?
Just killings and car chases. Like, just, I'd say 2 weeks ago, a guy robbed a bank, and he was driving through 54th or 53rd, coming off of Clark, going on the center. He ran the stop sign. He ended up killing a man.
Yeah.
And, like, there's shootings every other day. people running through the neighborhood shooting. You got the cops walking. Now you have cops, instead of them driving around, they are walking in groups just to somewhat calm down what's going on or catch people in the act of doing stuff. Because everybody can say when they see the police, they freeze or they'll slow down on what they're doing. Or so I think with them walking around will kind of make things better, but it won't, just because nowadays everybody's crazy. It's like everybody's quick to pick up a gun.
Why?
I don't pick up a book.
Why?
The media. The way I feel is media, and the way the man puts down the minorities and the inner city livers. They make them feel that they have to live that way, so they do what they say just to, I don't know, prove them right, if you should say, prove them wrong. But when somebody tells you over and over, you're not mad, eventually you're going to get mad because you're tired of hearing them saying it. So it just, they're tired of people saying it, so they just do it.
Mm-hmm.
They feel that they were born into it, so they have to keep doing it. They've been put down so much that they haven't had that person to tell them, hey, you can do it. You can go to school. You can go right down the street and go get your diploma. You can do it. They didn't have that person. They had that person, you can't. You can't. You're not going to be. Not you're going to be. It's not. It was you're not going to be all around.
So who told you you could?
Tell you the truth, everybody, all the people, like my one of my best friends, even though he's grown, he's one of my best friends now. He's 42 years old. His name is Sly. He, no matter what choice, or I would always come to him like, Sly, should I do this or should I do that? He would tell me, like, if I was you, I would do this, but go with how you feel. Whatever you do is on you. You just got to make that right choice. Like, because I look at him somewhat like a dad, even though I didn't had grown men around me. It's just the way he gives off, the way he talks to me. Intelligent conversation is way different from a conversation where, or let me say, an intelligent conversation is different from a conversation that I have with my mother. Because I can have an intelligent conversation with my mother, but it's just a conversation with my mother. I would still look at her and was like, you're my mom, so somewhat I'm gonna listen, somewhat I'm not.
Now,
when a stranger basically comes, talks, speaks intelligently, I listen. And I take in what they're speaking on and try to use it to my advantage if I can. Otherwise, I will listen and I will try to push what they told me onto the next person that asked a question and I hear it.
How did you cope with your father's death?
I don't consider myself to, like, that I've coped with it or I've gotten over it.
I understand, yeah.
But I just say, like, I just moved on. It's not like I never forget my father. It's just there's a point in time where you can't be like, oh my God, they're gone. What am I going to do? Mm. They're gone. Well, you're saying it. They're gone. There's really nothing you can do besides not forget them. Once you forget them, then there's a problem. But you got to keep moving forward. And really, like, I had my breakdowns here and there. Like, just a couple days ago, I went up to his gravesite by myself and just sat up there for a little minute. You just got to keep moving, really. I wouldn't consider it coping. And just kept moving forward.
Yeah. And your daughter, you obviously care for her immensely. She's a beautiful girl. How do you fashion a life for her that is rich and rewarding and has a lot of education and safety? How do you give her the things that, at least so far, have been so hard for you?
How do I give her?
How will you? How will you be able to do that?
Well, like I said, once I get back into school, I feel a lot of more doors will open, just because a lot of my time will be spent up with school and her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and work. Let me include work. School, my daughter, and work. That's basically what I'm pushing for. I don't need to be, because I'm not, but I don't need to be in the streets. I don't hang out with anybody, because I really don't have friends that I can just call and be like, hey, we kicking it, yeah. But I don't need to be doing that. I just need to go to school. If I go to school, otherwise online classes, I go to work, and I come home to my daughter.
What do you want to do? What kind of work would you like to do 10 years from now?
I would like to own my own, either my own garage,
really?
Working on cars, or I want to be a chef.
Really?
But if neither of those work out, I'm going to be an English teacher. I know that for sure. I'll take the rest of the time, the next couple years again, and become an English teacher. Just because my grandmother, my Caucasian grandmother, she was a Spanish teacher and an English teacher. And like I lived with her my second grade year of my life. And that was like my best time of my life, when I loved books.
Mm.
Like, I would always read a book. Now I can say, like, I really don't read. I need to read. I need to read to my daughter more. Like, I read to her here and there, but I need to read to her even more, and I need to read to myself mm-hmm. even more, because books are a thing.
Yeah. You can write for her, too, probably.
Mm-hmm.
You can write your words to her.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's go back to phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Let's go to Ann in Madison. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to say you must be a really good father, because your baby sounds so happy.
Thank you.
I guess somebody is taking care of her briefly, because I haven't heard the gurgles.
Yes, we asked Scotty and Katie to play with her for a while, because he was having a hard time talking and taking care of her at the same time.
And I just wanted to say, too, you seem to have a very mature attitude, so I'm sure you'll do well.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for the call. We have this email for you, Paul. Is there high school counseling for young fathers? Does that even exist?
Actually, not that I know of. There's a program in the MPS schools now that they started a couple years ago. It first started it at my school somewhat. It's called VFZ, Violence Free Zone. And it's a group of mentors that take the kids that have altercations with each other, and they sit them down and they have a talk about. And they just started a GSA, which is a gay straight alliance in the school. They started that program within the VFZ. They have a leadership, like student council type. So, but other than a fatherhood program type, like where a father that's in high school can go for help, they don't have that, from my understanding. Because otherwise, I most likely would have went there and right away, like, hey, I got a baby on the way.
Yeah.
Because every school that I went to, I'm cool with, like, all the principals, the security guards. So, like, I wouldn't have a problem going to one of them and be like, hey, this is the situation. But no, not that I know of.
More phone calls in a moment. Our number, 800-486-8655. Paul Gale is our guest this hour. Paul was featured in a really moving Washington Post story that he's having second thoughts about having done, because now all of a sudden he's the center of this national attention, including us. We invited him to be here. But we thought that, you know, we talk a lot about all these issues of violence in the city, and we're located in Milwaukee, and segregation in this city, and this huge gap between people who have and people who have not, and minority unemployment, et cetera. So we asked Paul to come and be an expert on everything. Why not? He's 19 years old. He's a dad. He's raising his daughter, Sapphire, who's in the other studio right now, and she's doing okay. She's happy. And we're welcoming phone calls for him. So we'll be back with you in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Deborah in Milwaukee, hi.
Hi, Kathy. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
You're quite amazing. I think you're very mature for your age.
Thank you.
I'm 57. When I was 18, I left my home in the Upper Peninsula to be a nanny out in New York. And so for 15 years, I worked for very wealthy families throughout the United States, and I saw the formula for raising kids, and there's no violence, and nobody spanked anybody, but that I just have that in my mind. Now I have my own son. He's 21 now, and I can say it's much easier, like you just stated, to raise. It's much easier to take care of other people's kids than it is your own. You said yourself you didn't, you know, oh, it's my mom. It's, you know, when your mom tells you something, it almost goes in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
And a portion of it stays there. But I just have this advice for your daughter. I think if you can get her, I was in Dallas for 5 years and loved it too. So Texas is good. But nature is what I was surrounded by growing up. Nature, nature, nature. My dad never talked to me. He never said, I love you. Didn't sit on his lap. There was no nurturing, but he was always fly fishing or we were camping.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very soothing and it's invigorating and energizing. And you can get your daughter out into the wilderness.
Thanks, Deborah, very much for the call. Do you like the wilderness?
Yeah, actually, I do. I've been camping a couple times. I like camping.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind taking her when she gets older.
Yeah. It is a hard thing to do to raise a child, isn't it? I mean, and when you think about how you're struggling to find your way as well out of poverty and out of, you know, this life that's been tragic in many ways, I mean, it's a tall order, no matter... Even if you have a whole lot of money and everything set, to raise a child is really, I think it's the biggest thing we do.
Yeah. Like I tell, like, every time, like, even when my baby mama was pregnant, I was like, you have a little person, not a boy, a girl. You have a little human inside you. So with that being said, there's a lot of stuff that we do for us that we have to do 10 times more for that little human inside of you. Like, think about that. There's a human in you.
I know. And you have to take care of them because they can't do anything
mm-hmm.
by themselves for so long.
They would have nobody if it wasn't for us.
I know. That's a big responsibility, isn't
it? It really is.
Thanks, Deborah, for the call. Barbara in Fenimore. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering, I see a lot of yard sale books. I have access to, you know, reasonably priced books, and I was wondering if we could send books for Sapphire to the radio address.
Sure, go right ahead.
That's all I was calling about.
Yeah, do you have our address?
I can find it online. That's no
Scotty
problem.
Scotty, I never know our address. It's 310. Can you hear me, Scotty? 310 West Wisconsin Avenue, Suite 750, and the zip is 532.
533?
Really? 532-0-3.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much, and we'll get those to you.
Okay.
Nothing like books. We love books here.
I got to start doing the book thing with her. Really
All right.
Do.
Yeah. Antonio in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Antonio.
Yes. I just want to, I'm just driving, listening to the conversation on the radio. I can sort of relate to where he's coming from. The difference between me is that I didn't have no family here in Milwaukee. From the age of 15 to the age of 19, I was homeless, running to the whole south side of Milwaukee. And one thing that I always wanted was health when I was growing up and living on the streets. And that was really something that was really hard for me to find. I mean, there was nobody there to lend me a hand. There was nobody, you know. I tried to go to a different program, didn't work. When I was 18, I tried to join the military. They didn't accept me because I didn't have my high school diploma. But, yeah, they were accepting people after 9/11, yeah, but I didn't go. You know, and it was kind of hard for me because I didn't find nowhere or nothing that can actually lend me a hand. And, I mean, I see that now he has resources now that, you know, that can, you know, he could progress in life. But back then, when 1997, 98, 99, 2000, there was really nothing that I could find.
Yeah, what a sad story. How are you doing now, Antonio?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing good. I'm a grown man. I got kids. I got a full-time job. But, you know, when I was 19 and my girlfriend got pregnant, I knew that I had to make a change. The only way I can actually make a change and progress was to leave Milwaukee and go to Chicago with family members. And that's how I was able to settle down and, you know, start working and become a man. But if I knew if I stayed in Milwaukee and, you know, I was going to end up leading to a life of crime and,
right.
You know, so it's just her getting pregnant was really what changed my mind. I don't want my, you know.
It sounds like that's true for you too, Paul, that your daughter is changing your life.
Yeah, she really is. Like, a lot of people would say that I've been changing since she's been here.
Yeah. I think he points also to this. Nobody should have to be homeless, you know, or live all those years as he did on the street. Sometimes we all need a teacher, we all need a counselor, we all need somebody at the Next Door Foundation. That one person to say, you need to go to MATC and here are the classes that are available to you, somebody you respect. That person can make a huge difference in our lives, can't it? We all need somebody like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Josh Langer, he's my counselor. He was, when I was in school and I'd get in trouble, he'd tell me, like, dude, you're smarter than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know you could do better. And I did.
Yeah. Thank you, Antonio, for the call. Kelsey is next in La Crosse. Hi, Kelsey.
Hi. The question that I have, Paul, is you made an interesting statement on, like, getting your daughter out of Milwaukee because the city is full of violence and crime and all these things, that you would like her to go down to Texas with your aunt. But if you Google, have you ever heard of Teach for America?
No.
Okay, it's like a nonprofit organization that actually is based in Milwaukee, too. But this young man that just graduated high school from Baltimore did, like, a great speech at the end of his high school graduation for the oncoming Teach for America course, teachers that were coming in, and he said that the one thing he wanted teachers to stop saying is to change their language and say, you know, our city's bad, or get out of our city, or the only way that you're going to have a life is to leave Milwaukee. How about be like a part of the solution and help change your city and help give back and mentor and, you know, help change the direction of what your city is going. And I was just kind of wondering, your perspective on that talk and what that kid from Baltimore had to say.
Well, I feel like certain cities, certain states, certain areas, and it doesn't matter, they're set up for failure and success. So certain cities are set up for where we're only going to hire this amount of people, this amount of race, and this amount of culture. And then the rest are going to do what they want to do. I feel Milwaukee is a city that does that. They really don't care about the other cultures. They really just care about the Caucasians and their money. That's why I feel I need to leave here, because I don't really want anything to... I was born and raised here. Don't get it wrong. I was born and raised here. Keith Street, 64th of Keith. I was born and raised. I can't do it no more. I lost my father in this city. I lost my best friend. I didn't lose so many people. It's a point where, yeah, you got to do something about it. But that's either you try to do something to create the situation, or you do something to better yourself, and that's leave. Let's leave the whole situation alone. Just like if you get into an altercation with somebody, you got two choices. You either leave that altercation, or you put something into it that'll change that situation. And that's what I feel I need to do, is leave, because I didn't put in too much in this city. We didn't try at schools do peace rallies and things like that. I didn't been involved in things like that. It's just a time where it's time to just say, okay, let's go.
Paul, I want to thank you so much for being with us, for coming to the radio station, and
thank you for
obviously touching a lot of people. I'm glad you did that article. I mean, sometimes people have to have information, and it was well done, and it gave a really heartfelt look at what your life is and who you are, how valuable you are. And it's obvious that you are. Thank you very much.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, we have 30 seconds.
Okay, I don't regret doing the article. I just wish a lot more people could have been involved in it.
Understand. Okay. Thank you. We'll write the next article. Oh, all right? Yes, you could. There you go. All right. We'll look forward to seeing it.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Paul for being with us, and thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. Thanks very much to KP Whaley and Scotty Myers for producing this hour. Thanks for all of your calls, everybody.